listening to the Greg Hill Show from Gillette Stadium, and I am here with Jermaine Wiggins and with Courtney Cox and with Chris Curtis, and a win for the New England Patriots right here last night, 7 hours ago.
It
ended with the exclamation point of the Milton Williams sack, and wasn't offensively, it wasn't pretty, but the New England Patriots advance, and hard to believe where things were last season that this team has won a playoff game and is awaiting the winner tonight when it comes to another game here at Gillette Stadium. So
yeah, the door is wide open for you. After watching last night's game. And yeah, you're right, the offense wasn't pretty, but it's about capitalizing at the right time. And defensively, they did such a great job of smothering the charges that even though your offense wasn't great, you had room for error because the Chargers couldn't do anything on offense.
It also makes me feel better the more people that are talking about this game, talking about the fact that the Chargers' defense is so good. So mm-hmm. Drake, coming out of the gate, first playoff game, was able to face such a difficult defense. And yeah, it wasn't his best game statistically, mm-hmm. but it did show that he had grit. Like, he didn't let it spiral him. And that's been something that he's been able to do all season long. Right. In the beginning of that game, a rookie quarterbacker in his second season, basically his rookie season, in your first playoff game where the lights are very bright, a lot of quarterbacks could let that absolutely crumble him, and he didn't.
I think the defense, that series after the interception, obviously was, for me, the biggest series of the game because you have a young quarterback in his first game. You know, I'm not entirely on him. Ball gets tipped, but it's an interception in an awful spot, and the Chargers take over in the red zone. And when the defense didn't allow a point,
yeah,
and then you take the ball 90 yards down the field, get a field goal yourself,
mm-hmm.
that was the complimentary football this team has had the whole year. It's been when the defense is having a tough time, Drake May picks it up. When the offense is having a tough time, the defense picks it up. And never in that game after that, when the Patriots stopped them at the 2-0 ball game.
Yeah. I mean, he came to play last night, and certainly you want to nitpick whether it's on Drake May. I you know, he's got at times he has to stay in there and take that sack and not try to get rid of the football because that led to problems for him last night. I think Will Campbell is realizing that you know, when you get to playoff time, the talent gets better on that side of the football. Certainly he struggled a little bit. I mean, both those guys both those guys struggled last night, so they got to, as Mike Vrabel would say, got to try to clean that up.
Mm-hmm.
Ramondre Stevenson, unbelievable game for him last night. There's just
throw is something you'll be talking about. Like, that was the LaFell catch by the throw to LaFell by the Patriots and Brady in 2014. Like, that was a play. The only possible place you could have put that ball to get a touchdown with that coverage, it mm-hmm. was one of the best throws you could see. You can't make a better throw than that in that spot to seal the game. Like, that was spectacular.
It was perfect. And the only better one that I saw yesterday was Josh Allen on one leg throwing that football 30 yards or whatever, 30 or 40 yards yesterday. But I'm excited. I don't care. Anybody thoughts on who you end up playing next week here on Sunday? Do you care?
I for the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Pittsburgh, because of the fact that we talked about Houston's defensive front is better than the Chargers, and it's obviously better than Pittsburgh. And you saw last night's game, the Chargers and their ability to create problems up front. And luckily, your defense, there was a couple, we talked about the tip, there was a couple opportunities down there when Drake May got hit that basically turned into forced fumbles that they were able to create from the front line perspective. So I would much rather see Pittsburgh come in here, but I think your defense is still going to play good enough to make sure whoever's offense comes in here, you'll be able to keep you in the game to where it's like, all right, once your offense makes a few plays here and there, that's why I think you have the advantage over both of those teams that you could potentially play next week.
Can Mike Vrabel take anything from the first Patriots game against the Steelers, like that loss? Or is this team just so drastically different that it doesn't matter what happened in that first matchup?
Yeah, they're just so different. I think you can, like, look at maybe what they did well, but I think you did a good job against them defensively. Like you, that was a game that you kind of held Aaron Rodgers to. I think you might have had one or two interceptions in that game.
You had five turnovers, right? And you still almost you were in the football game. So I don't. I mean, it seems like it was a long time ago.
That was two different teams.
It's just wild. You're going to be hosting your second playoff game at home this upcoming Sunday, and the crowd felt great through the screen. I wasn't here. And one sneaky thing that's cool, Greg, is you know how they do those live shots of Boston and how few cars are on the road in the middle of that game? Like everybody in this region was sitting at home, got the game on, and it was old school. Like I know you're no longer there, but in Southie, you're hearing people cheering, you know, the stupid people above me who I love, and that they're not stupid, but they were like a nanosecond ahead of me.
Oh.
So I'd hear cheers or throwing things.
The worst.
I was like, I'm just going to go up and bring some Diet Coke.
The point that you made is that you're hosting a game again this week, but the magnitude of it is like, if you win this game, you're in the AFC Championship.
Unbelievable. Like, they're going to be hosting the Bills. It's going to happen. It's meant to be. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen's coming back here, and it is going to be absolutely spectacular. I root for the Bills.
Do you?
I do.
I don't
want no part of that man. That is a bad man.
I love Josh Allen. I really do. I think he's got like whatever the qualities are. I think he has done so much to elevate everyone around him.
Yeah.
He hasn't had Andy Reid. He hasn't had Tyreek Hill. He hasn't had Travis Kelce. All the guys that, you know, that Mahomes, who is his number one rival, have had, he hasn't. And they've won in the regular season against the Chiefs, but in the playoffs, that's where coaching and those players helps out. And I just want it to be Josh Allen back here, AFC title game.
I mean, we're doing that thing where we get far ahead of ourselves again. Yeah. Do you think
they beat the Steelers this weekend?
I mean, I feel like any given Sunday with this football team and with who is left, I did it last week, and everybody
kind of poo-pooed me when I got ahead of it, but I'm with Curtis on this one.
Well, I'm a one game at a time guy.
Thanks, coach.
But I mean, listen, you saw the way there's something about this football team where they have, whether it's Mike Vrabel from a leadership perspective or the guys that are on this team, they make mistakes, they turn the ball over, and they don't sulk, they don't give in, they are able to overcome that. So either one of those teams, I feel like you have a pretty good chance of winning and advancing. And I would disagree with Curtis. Josh Allen just scares me.
I don't want no props on him.
I'm not interested in that when we get to that point. But it
goes back to that conversation we had. Then it's like, all right, if you do get to the AFC Championship and you want to stay away from Josh Allen, it means you got to go to Denver.
I guess the question would be, which is a worse poison, Josh Allen here or playing on the road in the AFC Championship game in Denver?
I don't know. Drinking at altitude is a tough thing.
I might go with, if it came down to it, fan hat on, I would probably say give me Josh Allen home, only because it's home. You go to Denver. Look at last night's game and what the crowd noise was able to do to the Chargers, how many times they started in 1st and 15 because of false starts. I just think that if you are at home and you could get a little bit of momentum, you make a big play, you get the crowd into it. Going to Denver, it's just when you're on the road, it's just a tough, tough element, especially in an AFC Championship game.
And Sean Payton's probably the only coach that you could say might be better than Vrabel that's still in the playoffs. Like a guy that's won a Super Bowl, and what he's done in Denver has been remarkable. And with Bo Nix as his quarterback, it's wild.
Yeah, well, now you're not a Mike Tomlin guy. Like, you're not giving him any credit whatsoever.
No, I do. I just, if you were to put up Vrabel against Tomlin, I'd rather have Vrabel coaching my team.
Because Tomlin's got to win. You know what I mean? Tomlin does a great job in the regular season. He gets his team there, but he hasn't won in forever. So, I mean, even Vrabel, right? Vrabel won a playoff game here. And what was that, 2019?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think when you start to look at Vrabel and get an understanding what he can, like in the game last night, you got to make adjustments, right? So you see the Patriots blitzing like crazy, Jim Harbaugh. And it's like, all right, what do we need to do here? Like, we got to build in some hots. We got to maybe bring in, you know, seven-man protections. There's got to be something that we need to do if I'm a Chargers fan, and you didn't do that, right? You look at the Patriots, and Courtney, you've been spot on about this all year long, and I think this is a big part of Vrabel. You've said all year long about how Drake May never kind of wavers, even when things are not going good. He doesn't spiral out of control. And you seen that last night. Like, there were some bad decisions that he made holding on to the football, but he never spiraled. And when he needed to make plays, whether it was with his legs or throwing the football, he took advantage of those. And that's big for basically a first-year starter.
And those bad issues that he had were early on. Like, that's what worried me when that game started. I know a lot of people said that they were never nervous during that game. I certainly was nervous. How they started that game, I did not like what I saw. And my biggest worry was, okay, here we are, playoffs, first time seeing Drake. Is this going to be what cracks him? And it didn't.
So. And I think the difference is, and the reason why this team does feel like those old Patriots teams, is you never felt like a single mistake could derail you. Because you had confidence and the players had confidence that, you know, okay, Vinatieri's going to make this, or Wiggy's going to catch the ball in the snow. You never thought you had to overcome and do more than you were needed to do because everybody on the team had a specific job and they were able to do it without trying to do others at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, Drake tends to, for whatever reason, it takes him a couple drives to get into a groove. And that did happened certainly last night. Again, I don't know if that's a concern or not going forward, but as we have been saying since we started the show 15 minutes ago, it doesn't matter because you won that game last night. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot to talk about this morning on a Patriots Monday with you about that. We're going to get to our leads coming up in about 10 minutes. And then they said it. We got Mike Vrabel will join us at 8, and Boomer is normally on at 8, so maybe we'll do Boomer at 7, get our leads in. We got two breaks to get leads in, and we'll get Boomer Esiason on the show at 7, and then they said it at 7:20 on this morning show. News with Courtney coming up at 8:20, and I don't know how game notes went. Chime, good morning. Hello, how are you back there?
I'm great, Greg. How are you today?
Any game notes?
We got a couple. Not a whole lot, but we got a couple here.
All right. Well, maybe we'll squeeze some game notes in, and we will definitely play your Hill notes back on last night's win and other things during the 9 o'clock hour at some point this morning. Chime, must be a happy camper with the way your guy won that game last night.
Yeah, man, I'm happy to have a win. Greg, it wasn't his best performance, but he made an immaculate throw when you needed him to. Even after missing Cooper wide open in the end zone, he kind of battled back, and he was running for his life out there, which was great. I am very happy to just win and move on. That is the goal of the playoffs, the tournament. You're one and done in this thing, so I am pumped today. I was very stressed watching the game. It's the most stress, like in a good way, though. Like, it was the best stress I've had watching a Patriots game in years, and I loved it so much. I'm excited for next Sunday.
Yeah, it was unneeded anxiety. Yeah. I felt like they gave us a little bit of unneeded anxiety last night.
Were you
night,
nervous, though? After they stopped them down there on the goal line after the pick, I wasn't nervous. I was like,
Greg, I was nervous.
I was just, you know, you're sitting there, and it's 9-3, and I was waiting for some bit of luck to fall in Justin Herbert's lap, and he ended up losing that game by one.
All weekend teams just constantly be coming back, and so I was just kind of on the edge of my seat, like, is this going to be another one of those games where a team comes back? But the defense was just very, very, very good last night and completely shut the door on that possibility.
Can we just sneak in a quick complaint because we've been too positive? The football world saying that the refs missed a blatant roughing the passer call when, was it Williams? I don't know whose hand it was.
It was Milton Williams.
So he comes in, and it wasn't an aggressive hit to the head. It was a collateral damage. It was not something that was done premeditated. The way Chris Collinsworth talked about it, you'd think it was like Bernard Pollard going into Brady's knees. Like,
right. Well, but they have to call that.
Yeah, they have to.
I don't think it was egregious. And I think you can I think in the playoffs, there is some discretion that they don't call every roughing the passer. They don't call every defenseless receiver the way they may in the regular season.
But that's one that I think, and you know, 10 games, they call it 10 times,
yeah,
except for the playoffs. But I look at it like this. Okay, you missed that call, but then you clearly missed the quarterback sneak where you gave them the first down where you had fourth
that
down.
That was ridiculous. Right. They showed the view, the overhead view on it last night.
Not even close.
He did not get a first down there. Right. And so that was ridiculous. There should have been an offsides called on the Chargers.
The left tackle.
And they pointed that out last night in the broadcast. So
They got some.
Yeah.
The pass interference that they said no was no pass interference, and then you get called for a pass interference. So I kind of looked at it like, all right, the refs made some mistakes. You got some. They got some. But I feel like it was a wash.
Yeah, well, I'm just worried about Tony Romo. I watched that game, and I thought, holy cow, what happened to him?
He's so bad.
I really, honestly, I was like, there's an old play-by-play clip where the broadcaster has a stroke, and he's like, there's a henchman on third. And I thought of Tony Romo. Like, he has totally and completely lost his mind.
Play pass. Oh, picked up on Henley. Twists him.
That was our guy, Hunter Henry. Already heard him here today on a Patriots Monday, Jones and Keefe. A playoff victory Monday. Your phone number, 617-779-7937. We'll get to Drake May and his day coming up, plus all your phone calls. But just circling back to the defense where we started.
Yeah.
The insane pressure on Herbert, who it did feel like they're about to kill him last night.
Oh, it's too much.
I thought it was interesting that Vrabel highlighted last night, the first time he's asked about what they did, that fourth down stop after the interception and the short field and the quick turnaround, that's where he highlighted as like the biggest sequence in the game. And I could see why he did that.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're like, the Chargers are about to...
Well, Hunter Henry even just told us that was the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's first quarter, you have a lot of possessions left. But that was a rough go. That was a little nerve-wracking, right? If you're the Patriots, you have a first down, but then you quickly punt on your first possession. So you get the ball to start the game, you punt, you force a punt, and then you throw a pick, and it's first and 10. Would you have kicked a field goal if you were Harbaugh, or do you think it was the right call? Obviously, in hindsight, they didn't get it, but like...
No, I didn't...
In that moment, you didn't know it was going to be so few points scored.
I didn't mind going for it there, to be honest. You know, I thought later on in the game, they got way too conservative on like some third downs, or maybe I wouldn't have gone for it. But that one there, you just got a pick. You got a chance to really like make a statement. Not because a field goal would have felt like a win for the Patriots. A stop obviously felt like a massive, massive win.
Yeah, field goal's a win, but
a field goal
would have
felt
down.
Like a win. I probably would have gone for it there if I were Harbaugh.
Yeah, and it's funny because they were talking about on the broadcast how all weekend long teams were going for it on fourth down like crazy. And that's part because, you know, look at some of the coaches, right? You had like Ben Johnson and some of these guys. So you had a lot of fourth down attempts. And Jim Harbaugh kind of did it at times, then didn't at others, right? There was like, you know, midfield kind of punt one time when he didn't. No, but that was one where I don't think anybody thought the game was going to be 16-3, you know, less than 20 total points. So you probably thought, you know, if they kick a field goal, we used to say this all the time when teams would play the Patriots, right? They'd march down the field, fourth and one, they'd kick a field goal, and you're like, game's over.
Right.
Like, you can't beat them that way. And so,
yeah, I in my head, I'm thinking mid-20s, what you got to get to, and you're not going to get there, kick
so
a field goal.
So I didn't mind them.
Yeah.
I thought it was probably the right call to go for it, but then when they stop them, and then from there, though, you're like, all right, well, you could also get the ball right back with good field position again, and then you have that awesome Ramondre Stevenson, you know, pass. You know, they throw it to him. He makes a big run down the field, kind of flips the field for him, and they end up going all the way down the field. Now, unfortunately, their red zone offense, or their kind of came back to bite him a little bit there, had to settle for a short field goal, but what a difference just those two possessions were.
Oh, it's true. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. That is the Pepsi Key Takeaway, brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Huge sequence there. Marcus Jones, big stop on third down, taking down Justin Herbert at the two, and then turning around and Christian Gonzalez, who I thought was really good, left the game with a concussion. I guess his status is up in the air for Sunday against Houston or Pittsburgh, but I thought Gonzo was really good in that game last night, which was nice to see. What'd you think of Hunter Henry? I mentioned this earlier. He was Drake May. We mentioned this to Hunter Henry. He was 6 out of 15, 40% completion percentage, worst half of the year for Drake May. He had a pick in the first half. Second half, he was much better, 11 of 14, 170, whatever it was, the touchdown throw to Henry. He did have a fumble. He had a second fumble that he could have lost to the Chargers.
Yeah, Jared Wilson, nice pickup.
It was.
Nice scoop.
And the first fumble,
tough game.
The first fumble, I think, was on May. Like, yeah, yeah. Like Campbell had a rough night. Wilson had a rough
night. Oh,
those
guys were rough.
It was funny on NBC after the game, Keith, on Sunday Night Football. All the offensive linemen that were out there, the two that were missing, were Campbell and Wilson. Did you notice that? They're all standing behind Drake May. I'm like, yeah, those guys didn't have such a hot night.
They weren't standing in front of him too often.
No, they weren't. And so, no, I don't think it was a great night for Campbell, and specifically on that play where Owe got the strip sack.
Yeah, no, but there's got to be a clock, obviously.
You have to take care of the ball. He's getting sloppy with it and trying to force a throw there.
Yeah.
I thought the sack was on Campbell. I thought the fumble there was on May and the lack of awareness. So, yeah, I didn't think it was his greatest night, and yet he was able to overcome a bad start and put up the kind of performance they needed to win. His legs were a factor all night, so it wasn't all bad, and when they needed it, he came through. I just wouldn't call it a great night for him.
No, and it's funny, watching the Bears game on Saturday, I started to think about the possibility maybe Drake May, like Caleb Williams, welcome to the playoffs, just a disaster first half. Now, I don't think he was as bad as Caleb Williams was, but that sort of idea where it's their first crack at a playoff game. They're both at home, but real kind of struggles. And then are they able to kind of find their footing? And then, you know, Caleb Williams was worse than May was in the first half, but then he was probably even better than May was in the second half. But it was sort of like a, you know, welcome to the playoffs moment for both of those guys. And you're right, Drake May did enough other stuff. I mean, he's running keepers. He's running, like, fake pitch option plays.
That play was awesome. That third down fake pitch.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
The long run, 37 yards, whatever it was, to set him up for the field goal.
Could have had a touchdown catch if Efton Chisholm could hit him. Ugh. He ran a good route on that.
That was such a bad... Like, why Josh McDaniels had to get in the way of that?
I don't know. That was a weird one. And I don't know if he's the best guy to be throwing that or whatever it was.
I had no idea if Chisholm could throw or not, but after seeing it, definitely not.
No, but I would say, like, if you're talking about, like, Drake May, obviously it wasn't, like, this great performance of his, but it was, like, a grinder type of win. He got hit a lot, too. Right, he got sacked five times, turned it over twice, and yet came up with some first downs when he needed to, came up with the one touchdown pass in the entire game. So he'll take it. The most important thing for him is 1-0 in the playoffs.
May joins Tom Brady as the only Patriots quarterback in the last 35 years, so it's not like there's a ton of them,
which is only Brady,
to win their first career playoff start. So there you go. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Let's start it off with Johnny in Brooklyn. What's up, Johnny?
What's up, guys? Is it too late to say Happy New Year? Can we still do it?
Yeah, we'll take it.
Nah.
I'll take it.
Okay.
All right. Happy New Year. So listen, a lot of good stuff to talk about with the football game, so I'll leave that to you. I just want to talk about Chris Collinsworth for a second. Oh, my God. Last night, first half, he probably said 10 times that a certain play was the most important part, or most important play of the game. And then in the second half, Keenan Allen drops a pass that they throw a flag on, and it's clearly a false start or something. And he's going on and on about, oh, this is a terrible drop. What a horrible time to have a drop. And Tirico's like, oh, and then there's a flag on the play, and you know, and you have the drop. And there's a guy getting paid a ton of money to do it. I am nothing if not fair, though. Him calling out the fact that the Chargers were making substitutions at the end of the fourth quarter, I'll give him that. That was a good analysis. Anyway, guys, we got another game ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Sure do.
I thought that was strong analysis at the end of the game by Collinsworth. I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, Keenan Allen was weird. Yeah. I was like, what does it matter?
Right.
There's a penalty on the Chargers.
If he catches it or not, the penalty's on the Chargers. The
can't
play doesn't count.
Sure-handed guy on the team. Like, okay, it
doesn't
matter.
I didn't understand that either. That's weird. No, his analysis late. I mean, the Chargers were subbing. It was allowing the Patriots to get fresh legs in and bleed out the clock. The thing there, though, is Chargers weren't going to score.
The
way the Patriots played defense
twice,
and the way they were moving the ball, I get that it didn't put them in a good position to do it, and it was good analysis.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't think they could have been ripping down the field and hustling down the field. I don't think they were going to score. They didn't do it all night.
No.
Mark in Medford also wants to talk about Collinsworth. Oddly enough, go ahead, Mark.
What the hell?
I was just going to say, the fact that I'm the second caller in a row that's going to talk about Chris Collinsworth is crazy. But he was spot on before the game and during the game when he said the quarterback who runs more tonight is going to win the game. I mean, the Chargers, they couldn't even outscore the Bruins what they did on Saturday.
True.
That's very
true.
They weren't even close. Patriots barely did it.
Well, both ran for 10 carries, 66 yards for May, 57 for Herbert.
Yeah. I mean, to me, I just go back to the offseason. People are like, I don't want May to run. I never got that. I always thought that was dumb.
Oh, my God. Where would they have been last night if you couldn't run?
If you want to say pick your spots in like in a playoff game when it's all on the table, you're free to do it. Well, then fine. I understand, you know, weighing those two things, the significance of doing it week six against the Cleveland Browns or whatever versus a playoff game.
Yeah.
But I would never take that away from Drake May. It's part of what makes him special. That third down play where he's running like the option and he keeps the pitch.
Awesome.
Incredible play. Yeah. The play before halftime gave them 3 points.
Oh, like, my God, when everybody was playing man defense and he just scooted down the field.
Even when he wasn't playing his best in the first half, his legs were still a factor.
37-yard run. Actually, Herbert really ran more because, three kneel downs.
Good point.
So May had more yards, but like more attempts were for Herbert. But
May was the more impactful runner.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
100% he was.
I think that's a fair way to say it. This is Mike Vrabel, by the way, last night on Drake May and his night. He brought this up a couple of different times, and I don't know if this is intentional to try to get it out of Drake or if it was really bothering him after the game, but this is Vrabel.
Mike, congrats on the win. Wondering what you thought of Drake May's performance tonight. Looked like he had a slower start, but finished very well.
Yeah, I mean, again, we got to take care of the football. I thought he came through when we needed him. The tip pass is something that, was unfortunate. That turned into an interception. But the throw to Hunter, I thought, when we needed him, was elite.
I think it's a pretty good summation of the night. It's like, look, we got to take care of the football.
Yep.
Tip pass is unfortunate. Like, we're going to try to coach that out of him this week, I'm sure. Because I said this on Friday. I'm like, how could the Chargers win? Patriots turn it over. Wrong. Patriots did turn it over. Yeah. Turned it over more times than the Chargers. Mm-hmm. They still won easily because I didn't expect the defense to play the way it did. But I think it's fair to say, to go where you want to go, you're going to need more out of Drake May. And it could be Pittsburgh next round. And remember what happened last time they played Pittsburgh. And if it's not Pittsburgh, it's going to be a really good Houston defense. So that's going to be important this week.
But you know what it seems like? Certainly with a team like the Chargers, and I think they sort of highlighted this a little bit in the pregame last night, but I would even say a step for like a team like the Bills, like Herbert and Josh Allen almost have to have a perfect game for their teams to advance. Like Drake May last night anyway proved that he doesn't. Now the competition is going to get tougher as you go, but maybe that speaks volumes to how good the defense is and maybe how some of the other guys, like, you know, Ramondre Stevenson deserves a ton of credit for the game that he had. So Drake May, obviously you don't want to turn it over twice, but the rest of the team around him might be able to still find ways to win, even if he's not, you know, the best version of him.
No, that's a good point. It's silver lining for sure that you can win games where May does not put the team on his back. He's got to make big plays situationally, and, you know, he did for the most part in the second half. Wasn't perfect, but did for the most part in the second half. But, yeah, silver lining there, they can win other ways, and that was on full display last night. 617-779-7937. We got all your thoughts. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel, who was a guest this morning on the Greg Hill Show, and also fired up in the locker room after the game. That's next.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Of all the guys, when they said we're waiting on one, I didn't think it was going to be Andy. Okay, listen to me, fellas. I can't tell you how proud I am, okay, to sit here and be your coach. Okay, you guys have worked so hard for this opportunity. We're going to enjoy it. Okay, we said all along, you got to be willing to spill some blood. Okay, and the big dogs come out in January. When Milk came over there, he knocked the living shit out of me.
Yes, sir.
Okay. But I ain't afraid to spill a little blood either. Okay, but I want to tell you this. We're a team. Okay, and we're going to do this thing together. And everybody here is a part of it. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to figure out who we play next, and we're going to prepare, and we're going to get healthy, pick up the pieces, give you a plan, and go enjoy it. Okay, because what you guys have done is you believed and you trusted in the identity, and this is all for you. I want you guys to enjoy every second of this. Okay, because it sure beats going on vacation. It sure beats going on vacation. One clap for the big dogs. That's it. That's all you guys do. Break this down on purpose.
I love y'all boys, man. Hey, we ain't done yet. Hey, pass on me. Pass on three. One, two, three. Pass.
How was the Milkman breaking it down last night, Keith?
Oh, friend of the show. Best friend of the show. Milton Williams. Great game. Clubbed Justin Herbert in the head. Took him down. Love that. I was looking for a flag. Glad they didn't get one.
The Pats got the benefit of a couple of calls. They also had one go against them.
Yeah.
The review on what even was that? I'm still confused on what even happened with the review, or was it a booth review? Like where Herbert had the 1 yard, he clearly looked short, but they gave him the first down.
You know what's weird on that one is the overhead, like the bird's eye view, looked like he may have crossed it, and then both of the sides
were short.
Looked like he was way short.
Yeah, I mean that's not what I'm going off.
It was very strange.
I was going off them. It looked like they marked him short, and then they're like, "Nope, first down." I'm like, "Okay,
I know."
So this is my way of saying the reffing stuff tends to even out.
No,
but
it does.
Right, they missed that call on Milton Williams. There was another face mask they missed on Ladd McConkey.
I didn't love the pass interference on Carlton Davis, but then again,
I thought that was.
He's always screwing up.
That's right after you maybe got away with one with Gonzo the play before.
Maybe
that was more OPI than anything.
Which one?
The Quentin Johnson's pushing Carlton Davis. That's why he wrapped his arm.
Yeah, he grabbed him. There was a little bit of, like, usually they might let that go if both guys are kind of, like, tussling a little bit.
Just,
but Carlton Davis, the way he's played this year, doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No, and you've seen
the Gonzo one, I don't think was. Because, like, in real time, first of all, the ball hit Gonzo in the back. It was a poorly thrown ball.
But he's not looking at it at all, and he shoves whoever the receiver was.
Yeah, but the second the ball hit him, he hit the receiver. They even had the ref on to be. And he was like, oh, that one's clean. And then, like, the very next play, they get one. But yeah, either way. No, but the locker room stuff post game is always so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
And like I loved last week, you could hear like gasps. I don't think we really highlighted this. You could hear the locker room like gasp when Drake May, or was it the week before against the Jets? I'm trying to remember now. It was after the Dolphins win, where he set the Patriots' single season completion percentage record, Vrabel like shouts that out in front of the team, and they're all like, oh, they're all like. He's better than Brady?
Yeah.
Did a better stat than Brady?
Pretty sweet.
It was interesting to get that look in there. You can hear like how fired up they are. It's a playoff win. They should be fired up.
They should
up.
Be, but that was awesome.
But it was like going nuts at the start of the
Vrabel's
video.
Vrabel's bleeding.
Vrabel's bleeding his own blood.
I don't think anybody liked that more than Mike Tirico.
Oh.
As they're talking about it, maybe he liked it too much, honestly.
He was real excited.
Chris Collinsworth
was...
He's going on and on about something in the game, and Tirico's like, he's bleeding! Look at him right now! Look at his mouth. It's bleeding.
It's like one drop of blood.
Yeah, he like interrupts them to talk about it.
It looked more like a cold sore than anything.
And then they like keep cutting back to it. Tirico's like, look at him. Oh, he loves it. Oh, he loves it so much. Now he's going to go tell Milton Williams he did this. And it was like that ended up being like the biggest highlight of the game for Tirico.
It really
like,
did.
All right, buddy.
But then you hear like the genuine excitement for the milkman, Milton Williams, who you said it all last week, Keith. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the most impactful non-quarterback. And he was certainly on the short list last night. He was great.
Right up there, I would say, between Milton Williams, maybe Ramondre Stevenson.
Ramondre was huge. I'm getting flack about being worried about him fumbling. He had a monster game.
You did try to jinx him. Didn't work. He's unjinxable maybe now.
Or did I reverse jinx it?
Okay, it could have been.
Could
have been that.
That's not what it was.
No, but he was great. Our guy Hunter Henry obviously was really good. He had two of the biggest catches in the whole game.
Marcus Jones made a bunch of plays. Yeah. I thought Gonzalez was great last night. And I think that's very encouraging, assuming he can play. Like that... I don't know what the numbers are. I haven't looked. I don't know how he graded out, although I did see one next gen.
PFF had him as like the 47th best corner this
year,
even though he was fifth in all-pro.
Yeah, I always, like on Sunday Night Football, I always like look at those because you can't help it because they do like hey, I'm from, Mountain View Middle School. And they do their whole thing. And then you look at the bottom line and it says where they rank. And sometimes you can kind of guess it. And then other times you're like, wait a minute. Like, how is this guy who's getting, like, all-pro votes? It's like 50.
Yeah, Bozeman should have been the 41st ranked center. He got tossed around by Milton Williams like nothing.
I saw...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Next Gen said Gonzo didn't allow a reception on 5 targets last night in 26 coverage snaps. He allowed a league low minus 9.7 receptions over expected, including the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. So...
But he banged his head.
Well, but I just felt like he was impactful last night. Like, there's a... Like, I haven't felt like he's impactful most of the year. Maybe that's not fair, but just watching it doesn't feel like he makes an impact. Last night, I thought he made an impact. So there were a lot of guys who did that, but Milton Williams.
I say when you only allow
this is why you brought him in.
When you allow 3 points, most guys on defense were pretty impactful. Yeah. And I thought Christian Ellis, they highlighted him a lot. You know, outside of that Giants game, maybe the most they've sort of highlighted Christian Ellis because a lot of times they had a sort of spy on Justin Herbert, and they kept talking about how fast he is. He might be one of the fastest linebackers in the league, and so he did a really nice job. They generated a lot of pressure.
He was second on the team in tackles after Craig Woodson.
Yep.
We'll talk to him later.
I say
today.
Woodson, the eraser, had a lot of good tackles.
So I feel good about the game. You feel good about the game. Most Pats fans do. And you can dial us up at 617-779-7937. Dan Graziano, I knew there'd be people like this today, Keith.
Oh, please.
He does his overreaction, underreaction column every Monday.
Okay.
And he says the Patriots still haven't beaten anybody good.
Oh, I predicted this, didn't I, on Friday?
You did.
I did.
He said, overreaction? No, not an overreaction. Oh, sure, they won, which is all that matters at this point. But the Patriots' performance did not scream number two seed slash Super Bowl contender.
Whose did?
And it did little to tamp down the notion of them being an untested team that could struggle against better competition. This is survive in advance time of year, and the fact the Patriots won ugly does not disqualify them from winning at all. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
It just adds a little bit of strength to the arguments of those who continue to believe this team is playing over its head. I think it's the total opposite.
I
think everybody
disagree.
Who said they're playing over their head, this is proof that they could beat a good team. That's what everybody wanted to see.
Also, I completely disagree if you factor in the rest of the games. And he's, I don't know if he's doing that or he's just like focusing on this, but he can't be like, oh, the Patriots didn't really prove anything. And like, look how like close the game was. They ended up winning by 13 points. The Rams won by 3.
Yeah.
In a game they were favored by 10.5.
Probably should have lost to Bryce Young.
The Bears were down 18, won by 4.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills won by 3. And that was a crazy back and forth game. And then the Eagles, who are the defending champs, lost to the 49ers by 4. So I don't know. I feel like the Patriots.
It's the biggest margin of the weekend.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their defense held Justin Herbert, who is a Pro Bowl quarterback, to 3 points. So I don't know. To me, I would have loved to see the offense have a little bit more success, but overall, they were as impressive as anybody this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, look, the offense left something to echo what you just said. The offense left something to be desired. The defense was so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Who was better and going into the weekend?
It shows they have a variety of ways to win, which I think is important. Who was better what?
Panthers or Chargers?
Oh, the Chargers.
Right. Yeah. So the Patriots already didn't get credit for beating the Panthers earlier in the season. They don't get credit for that. They didn't beat anybody good except for the Bills. Well, the Rams just beat the Panthers. Do the Rams look like a Super Bowl winning team now after the game they played?
Not to me.
I don't think so. And so Dan Orlovsky came up with some obscure stat when he was talking about the MVP race. And he was like, well, how many touchdowns against 11 win teams? Chargers won 11 games. Does that not count now? Are we talking about 12 win teams? Like, what's a quality win anymore? Yeah. Even the playoff teams don't count. So, that seems a little forced.
Okay, but you knew there'd be some of that today. I think that's gone. I'm not going to bring up the schedule anymore. I think that's officially gone, but some people are still going to do it, including Dan Graziano at ESPN.
Good afternoon and welcome in to a playoff edition Victory Monday. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy, Stevens. Fitzy! Been a long time since we could say that. 7 years plus since we've been able to say a playoff victory Monday. Patriots 16, Chargers 3. Drake May 1-0 in the postseason, but more importantly, Zach Hardcore, Milton Williams in that defense 1-0 in the postseason 2026 January. Rolling into next week where they'll take on the winner of tonight's game in Pittsburgh between the Texans and the Steelers. If you're a Patriots fan, you're also for the next whatever it is 12 hours or so, you're also a Steelers
fan. Play Renegade.
Fan.
That's all. Wave your terrible towel at home and play Renegade. You want the Steelers next Sunday night at the Razor.
Pour some ketchup out, wave your yellow whatever you got in your house that you can find to look like a terrible towel. Because there were some aspects of last night's game that make it even more concerning that you may deal with the Texans. But we'll get to that as the show and the week goes on. We need to start with a fun football game. I'm not going to say it had the most plays of any game we've ever seen. And I'm going to say it was a little slow at times. Dan Ball, who's making faces behind the glass.
Your definition of fun is an interesting one.
Winning is fun. I've always told that to every kid I ever coached. Winning is fun.
Well,
and
Joe Mazzulla would disagree, Joe Mazzulla would disagree because that's a cop-out. And B, that was a slop fest. Don't try to spin this as that was a super
it was
fun
a,
football
Dan,
game.
You know what it was? It was the classic definition of a rock fight. That was like just two nasty defenses, one defense a little nastier, a little more rugged than the other, just bearing down and getting it done in the mud. And one team had to emerge victorious, and it seems the Pats were stronger and nastier. And Dan, you've been around this sports world long enough, just like Andy and I talked about at length on the postgame show last night. That was a vintage quintessential early 2000s, early part of the Patriots' double dynastic run playoff victory.
Oh, yeah, that was right according to the old school Patriot script, which I did enjoy. Sorry, Andy, go ahead.
I would just say the difference was the script was the same,
but the script didn't include the cast of characters that did back then, when you knew you had literally Hall of Fame talents on the football field for the defense. You knew you could count on that week in and week out. And yes, games were over at 6-3, 9-3, just like it felt like it was last night, where it was more, oh, Spillane's back and Milton Williams is back and Harold Landry's back and the Chargers O-line stinks. We can do this. We can, our weakness can beat their weakness. But I want to go to the text line real quick. 617-779-7937. Stanley, Dan Ball's not the only guy behind the glass who gets to talk. Do you know any reason why the very first text of the show we got would be in all caps, 207, Stiz don't know Ball? What do you think that's
about?
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I went with my gut. I picked the Chargers. I thought the lights would be too bright for our guy, Drake May. He proved me wrong. The whole team proved us wrong. You know, wasn't a shootout. They, you know, the offense wasn't a high-flying offense,
no.
But they got the job done. I ate my words. And trust me, I heard from all our listeners over the weekend who did not have nice things to say about me. But, you know, I got to go with my gut.
What did they
you
say?
You were only
that
off by
nice?
28 points when it came to the Chargers, Stiz.
What did they say that wasn't nice?
I'm not allowed to swear on the program.
Wow, they were that passionate. But, yeah, Stiz was wrong. The rest of us were right. Now, we didn't necessarily pick the game. I think some of us thought there was going to be an over and then some points might be scored. Early on, there were as many mistakes as there were plays by the quarterbacks in this football game, Justin Herbert and Drake May. But then Drake May, second half, 140 passer rating, completing, making some of the throws, still missing. Missed Hooper for the touchdown, but then hits Hunter Henry for the touchdown. And you end up with a relatively comfortable win. Did you ever think, after the very first couple series and plays, you throw an interception inside the 10-yard line, obviously you're like, oh no. But after that stop, after that initial kind of back and forth, Fitzy, did you ever think the Chargers were going to win this football game?
I thought they could take the lead. When the Patriots made it 9-3, I thought there's a chance the Chargers could finally orchestrate a touchdown drive. And it would be 10-9, and then it would be comeback and winning time for Drake. And he had done that a few weeks prior in Baltimore, so I had all the confidence in the world that they could win. But I did think the Chargers would be a little more game, a little more competitive on offense. But as discussed on the post game, and as people have bandied about last night and all day today, that Chargers offense was as meek and discombobulated as the Patriots defense was ferocious and unstoppable.
So there were a lot of plays early on, good and bad, for both teams. Both quarterbacks, I'm not sure, are going to send this game film for, like, their career retrospectives or any video tributes to themselves.
Yeah, but you already have Drake in the Hall of Fame anyway. Why does he need to submit a video?
Yeah, and he won. He's now 1-0 in the postseason. I believe that's all that matters because, and we will get to this later, I watched a lot of football this weekend, the National Football League. I saw a lot of quarterbacks who made mistakes, dug holes, could have won games, ended up kicking games away, had to come back. You know, a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who some people were telling me was playing the position as well as anybody in the game late in the season. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of kicked away an opportunity down in Jacksonville. Oh, Matthew Stafford, they're going to give him the MVP. I saw him in Carolina, and I was like drafting tweets to send out about how he fell on his face and looked like crap in Carolina. And then he threw a perfect ball to the tight end for the game-winning touchdown, and I have to save those drafts for use elsewhere. Those won't be reaching the light of day. But this was a weekend where if you came into the weekend thinking anybody's got a shot in the NFL, anybody can win, anybody can lose, I think you feel that exact same way. What was the stat? You know, up until yesterday, the team leading at the two-minute warning was not the team that won any of the games. They were all one-score games throughout the totality of the weekend until yesterday in the Patriots game. So, you know, it is as wide open as we thought it was. And Fitzy, there are warts on every team. And yes, that includes your New England Patriots. But I will not go so far as to say 207. Yesterday's game showed us why he is unfortunately not the MVP this year, and that's okay. Okay, so This weekend of football showed me why everybody's not the MVP. If we're going to judge just on this weekend, then Stafford can't win it. Then Trevor Lawrence can't win it. Christian McCaffrey, mediocre. Like, I don't know who you give it to if you judge it on this weekend. And Drake May made the plays he needed to with his legs to win the football game. Dan Ball.
Can I also extend it and say this weekend showed that I'm not sure who the Super Bowl champion is? Because did you see a dominant team out of any of this other than, honestly, other than what the Patriots defense did?
No. And that's why, if you're going to ask me my big takeaway, and we're going to get into this game because I thought there were a lot of sneaky big plays that decided this game, 2, 3, 4 plays that decided this game. But I feel better now about the possibility that the Patriots could win the Super Bowl than before this game started. And you can tell me they turned the ball over Ted Johnson stat. Oh, when Drake May has 3+ sacks and a turnover, they lose, right? Not so fast, my friend. He had 2 turnovers and 6 sacks, and he still won the game. So, take that stat, throw it out the window. This weekend made me, Fitzy, feel better about any team, and that includes your New England Patriots and their ability to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because if their defense is going to play like that, again, the Chargers are not the most offensively dynamic team in the NFL by any stretch, but fun little stat for everyone out there that's saying like, the Chargers offense was so gimpy, the Pats, all they had to do was show up and they could roll them. The Chargers, no team converted more third downs in the NFL this season than the Chargers offense. The New England Patriots held them to out of 10.
Yep.
1 out of 10, which is an absolutely spectacular number. And also, Justin Herbert got hit so many times, like how many, 18 pressures last, like an insane amount of pressures put on them. And the Patriots, you know, all season long, Andy, we've been having all these whole like, oh, you know, Drake May was the first quarterback to throw this many yards at this time of night with the moon in this position for this many touchdowns, whatever. The Patriots' performance last night in terms of third downs allowed, sacks, pressures, and points, they are 1 of 1 in NFL postseason. Not just since they realigned and went to 7 teams with a super wild card weekend. It was a 1 of 1 all-time performance. That's how fast, that's how ferocious, that's how game they were last night at the Razor.
So it is a Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons. That means scheduled to talk to Marcus Jones at 3:30. He's usually pretty locked in. Loosely scheduled to talk to Drake May around 4. It'll probably be sometime after Marcus Jones. We'll talk to those guys because they were keys in this game. Drake May, sure, he had the interception. Sure, he had a couple fumbles. He also ran really well and made that one throw he needed to make to Hunter Henry. And Marcus Jones was a contributing winning factor from start to finish. And I want to start right there because I think that Marcus Jones tackle following the turnover from Drake May inside the 10-yard line, the 2-yard line, 3rd and goal, Justin Herbert, who goes what? What's he go, like 6'6", 250, something like that?
He's not small.
No. He is 1-on-1 with Marcus Jones, the end zone in his sights, and Marcus Jones, who tells us all the time, he meets those situations thinking he's the bigger guy, right? He doesn't see little guy versus big guy there. He sees big guy versus big guy, and he undercut Justin Herbert. They go for it on 4th down. That falls incomplete. Patriots take over. They avoid the points on the early turnover. I think that was as big a play as there was in this game by Marcus Jones at the goal line.
That was, if there was to be a play of the game in a game that was kind of bereft of dynamic or explosive plays, that was the play of the game. Justin Herbert takes that ball in, and it was strange that they tried to run the ball in 3 times with the quarterback, but he is one of the better running quarterbacks in the NFL and had a bunch of yards and a bunch of first downs this year. Tries 3 runs, then the 4th down pass that doesn't work. You're coming off that interception. You want to talk about sucking the wind out of your sails and flattening all the beers at the ballpark last night. If Justin Herbert's able to get in the end zone following that pick, you have a completely different game, a completely different first half, and then Drake May starts to maybe feel postseason pressure on his shoulders. Marcus Jones saved his bacon with that tackle and turned the game right back around in the Pats' favor.
This is crazy, but no one can prove me wrong. I think if Justin Herbert runs over or around Marcus Jones into the end zone there and they go up 7-0 after the turnover inside, I think the Chargers win this football game. I'm a big butterfly effect guy, and I think games dramatically change on big plays and early plays. I think the Chargers might win that football game if they go up 7-0 there. And instead, you get the ball back, and then the second play that I think is a sneaky big play. So you stop them on downs at the 2, and you take over on the 2, and you toss it to Ramondre Stevenson, and all he does is go 48 yards to the 50. I think that changed everything there, because if you take over on the 2, Fitzy, that's a great goal line stand. You didn't allow any points. But if you don't go anywhere and you are forced to punt out of your own end zone, and then maybe the Chargers take over on like the 47, well, you're still playing catch up. You're still backed up. It's still advantage Chargers. But that immediate play from Ramondre Stevenson, who I continue to say might be the best offensive player on this team over the last month, he flips the field, gets you to midfield, and okay, now you're feeling better. You're not backed up. I think that was a huge play there in conjunction with the Marcus Jones stop.
Yeah, but my favorite part or aspect of Drake May's game last night wasn't when he started hitting longer, like the long pass down the side, left sideline to Booty, The fourth down conversion to, I think, was it to Diggs or Booty? Oh, it was Kyle Williams, excuse me. Great pass. The smartest plays he made was when the Chargers pass rush, and they got to him because they got five sacks and a whole bunch more pressures last night. And we'll talk about Will Campbell and Jared Wilson and the work that's going to have to get put in by a very sleepless Doug Marrone this week on the left side of that line. When he would, like, when Ramondre would just chip somebody, go out, and Drake would take the profit, the short action. Just get it to your guy who's been your most dynamic playmaker the past month. That's great quarter. Great quarterbacking doesn't mean the 37-yard scramble, which was awesome. Doesn't mean a 50-yard touchdown pass or hitting Hunter Henry for 35. It means sometimes just taking what's available and letting your playmakers play.
And that is going to be something we're going to talk about probably more as the week goes on. Where are you with Drake May holding on to the ball too long, which he certainly did? He had a couple fumbles. The worst one was the lost fumble because he felt the pressure, avoided the strip sack, and then was like, oh, I avoided it, so that gives me more time. I'm going to try to throw it again. And that guy, Owa or Oe or whatever, then gets the sack the second time. And I struggle with this, and I do want to get more into this as the week goes on, because I don't think you want to coach all of that out of Drake May. How many times have we talked about, oh, he slides up in the pocket and then flicks it down the field for like a 17-yard gain? So if you're going to praise those plays, every once in a while he's going to hold on to it too long. He's going to be in danger. He's going to try to make a throw, and it's going to be a strip sack. So that balance is a continued evolution in his game and his relationship. And I know Vrabel on the Greg Hill show this morning was talking about, like, the idea that, you know, sometimes just punt, sometimes just, you know, go down and just punt, you know, you're not going
to fight another day. Yeah. So you're going to get more possessions during the game. And Andy, you're not going to win in the postseason, or you're not going to survive very long and realize your dream if you're going to turn, if your quarterback's going to average two turnovers a game. Like, that's maybe one, but two turnovers or more a game, that's the bleep that's going to get you beat.
And that's why my last sneaky big play, and you'd never think a guard giving up a strip sack would have the sneaky positive big play, but after Jared Wilson gives up another sack on Drake May, he's just standing around like, hey, what should I? Oh, the ball's bouncing around. I should probably fall on that ball. Actually made a sneaky athletic play to recover that fumble, because that felt like, Fitzy, that was in scoop and score range for the Chargers.
Yeah.
And that would have been a massive opportunity for the game to swing in their direction. So that Jared Wilson didn't play well. Will Campbell didn't play well. But that fumble recovery by your left guard, your rookie left guard, prevented, you know, more dire straits, something really catastrophic from happening there. But we're going to continue to break down Drake May, the Patriots, the offensive line, the defensive front. Milton Williams, was he shot out of a cannon in the finale? Yes, he was, and he continued wreaking havoc against the Chargers. And maybe my MVP of the night, and it's not a player, and it's not one of the coaching options we listed on our votes last week. It's not Josh McDaniels and his little trickeration. It's not Mike Vrabel and his bloody lip. It's Zach Hardcore. I thought he was the best coach on the field last night for what he did with his defensive front and the schemes and the blitzes. They blitzed almost 50% of the time. The games up front, they were getting after it. Marcus Jones was getting after it at times. So Zach Core was phenomenal.